Ezra chapter number 4, and look at verse number 1. Now, if I mispronounce some of these words, please forgive me. I didn't listen to Alexander Scorby this morning read the King James Bible. And you don't know how to pronounce them either, so we're all in the same boat this morning, amen. Ezra chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning. And again, Lord, we thank you for first loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for this good church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for the dear man of God and his family that have been in this place these many years. And Lord, I come to you this morning. Lord, I understand without a shadow of a doubt, my flesh has failed me so many times, but the Spirit of God has never led me wrong. And dear God, I come to you, Lord, not because, just because I want to take time in this prayer, but Lord, I sincerely, desire the good hand of the Lord to be upon not only me, but the message this morning. And Lord, I hunger and I thirst for the power of God, Lord, and I'd rather be seated this morning and Lord, allow Brother Ross to get up and preach, Lord, than not to have the power of God upon my life. And so, Lord, now I pray, Lord, that you'd bring a holy hush upon this place. And dear God, I understand that, Lord, there's no person on the sound of my voice. Lord, they haven't come to hear from Chris Dallas today, but Lord, they've come to hear from heaven. And I pray that that can happen today. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage the discouraged. I pray, Lord, you lift up the brokenhearted. Lord, most of all, if there be anybody lost here today, I pray that you'd save them by the good grace of God. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You'll find here in the book of Ezra, in the verses that I read, that the enemies of Judah and Benjamin, they were people who had been relocated in the northern kingdom when Assyria conquered Israel. In an attempt to infiltrate and disrupt the project of rebuilding the temple, you'll find that these people offered to help the Jews rebuild the temple. But what they really wanted to do is they wanted to keep a close eye on what the Jews were doing. They were hoping to keep Jerusalem from becoming a strong nation once again. The Jews, however, they saw through their evil ploy. And can we be reminded this morning, child of God, that any time that you and I, born-again, blood-bought children of God, any time that we partner with unbelievers, it always leads God's people to compromise their faith. And those of us that are saved, we can always expect opposition when we're doing God's work. Unbelievers and evil spiritual forces are always working against God and God's people. And you and I, as God's people, need to move ahead with the work that God has planned for us and trust God to show us how to overcome the obstacles that come along this journey called the Christian life. I want you to look at Ezra chapter number 4, and I want you to look at verse number 5 with me this morning. And you'll find that the Jews' purpose was to go back and rebuild the temple, but you'll find that the enemy came in, look at verse number 5, the Bible says, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. Can I say this morning, I believe with all my heart, I don't say it because it sounds cute, I don't say it because of filler in the message, I say it because I believe with all my heart this morning that we are living in the last days, amen, and there are many things that are going on in today's society that absolutely frustrate me, amen. Can I say politics frustrate me. I believe with all my heart, the forefathers of our country, they're rolling around in their graves today. And can we be reminded today, church, that America, hope for America, is not found in the White House or through a Republican or a Democrat, but thank God the hope for America has always been in God's house. And we understand politics frustrate us, and religion frustrates us. I'm glad over 20 years ago, when I walked in a Baptist church like this one, they didn't tell me about a religion, but they told me about a Savior, amen. And one preacher said, religion is man reaching up to God, but thank God, salvation is God reaching down to man. Religion frustrates me. Can I say people falling out on God, that frustrates me. Those that abandon the King James Bible, that frustrates me. Those that compromise their Baptist heritage and throw away standards. If you want to live right and holy and clean in this world, there are some things that frustrate you in this world as well. And there's something wrong with the preacher today that is not frustrated the way our country is going. I want you to look at Ezra chapter number 1. Look at verse number 3 with me this morning. Look at Ezra chapter number 1. Can y'all hear me on the fourth row back there? Everybody all right? Just want to make sure. I had a little girl in Colorado come up to me some time ago. 10-year-old girl. She said, Brother Dallas, you ever thought about toning it down just a little bit? I said, no, ma'am. I said, my parents always said I had a big mouth, and I don't want to prove them wrong now. Amen. Look at Ezra chapter number 1. Look what their purpose was. Verse number 3, the Bible says, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. So we understand the Jews' purpose was to go back and rebuild the temple. Child of God, can we be reminded that God's purpose for you and I in 2020 is to build the house of God. Now, I understand that God built his house, but he uses you and I as human instruments in order to accomplish his purpose in building his house. Look at Ezra chapter 4, verse number 5. They were fulfilling God's purpose for their life. In Ezra chapter 4, verse number 5, the Bible says, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. And as I was reading these verses, it came to me that the devil does not have to kill us to keep us from our purpose. You know what he has to do? Just simply frustrate us. In the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, it describes frustrate as to break or to interrupt, to disappoint, to make ineffective. And I believe to disappoint is the best description for this particular application. Here's frustration in a nutshell. When expectation is up here and reality sets in down here, and when expectation and reality do not meet up, every single one of us are guilty of getting frustrated. Let me put it another way. Frustration is the difference between expectation and experience. It's the difference between the way we expect to live and the way life actually turns out. It's the difference the way we expect to serve the Lord and our actual service to the Lord. It's the difference the number of souls we expect to see get saved and the number that actually do get saved. It's the difference the number of converts we expect to see follow the Lord and the number that actually do follow the Lord. Can I put it on all of our levels here today? Maybe there's some gray haired saint of God. It's the difference the way you expect the doctor to say and what the doctor actually does say. It's the difference the way we expect the finances to turn out and the way the finances actually do turn out. And child of God, with expectation and reality do not meet up, we all get frustrated. And I believe with all my heart today that frustration is the great tool of the devil and his great weapon against the church. And he wants to stop the building of the house of God. And he does it by filling our pews with frustrated people. That's why Sunday school teachers sometimes quit. That's why bus workers quit. That's why sometimes workers in the church quit. That's why some make a sudden decision to leave the church. Can we be reminded, those that have been members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and they're no longer here, can we be reminded everyone that has been here and has left, they're not all evil people. Maybe some of them have just got frustrated in life, amen. As I've traveled this country, I've noticed that there's three types of frustrated people in all of our churches. First of all, there's those that are frustrated with themselves. They expected, when they got saved, they would serve the Lord and see God use them in a great and mighty way. And they were not used by God the way they thought they should be used by God. And they got frustrated. Some of them, they expected they would never fail the Lord, turn their back on their promises or disappoint God. But they found themselves in the depths of frustration because they did exactly what they set out not to do. Not only are there those that are frustrated themselves, but number two, there's those that are frustrated in their relationships. They expected the person they married to be the perfect mate, but they found out that there were some flaws. Bliss turned into hard work. Delight turned into demands. Perfection turned into problems. They expected they would never be a cross word in their marriage, but those words came so quickly and so unexpected. They expected there would never be any disagreements, but now they think some things can't even be resolved. They're frustrated in their relationships. Not only are there those that are frustrated themselves, not only are there those that are frustrated in their relationships, but I see it all over the country. There's some that sit in pews, they're frustrated with their church. They expect the church they join to be perfect, the members to be perfect, and the preacher to be perfect. And can I maybe let somebody in on a secret today? Hey, can I say Blessed Hope's not a perfect church? You know why? Because you're a part of the church. I'm a part of the church, my friend. But can I tell you, thank God, even though Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not a perfect church, thank God it's far better than the church that has compromised that King James Bible and brought in the rock concerts. Thank God it may not be perfect, but thank God it still brings honor and glory to God. Amen. Look at Ezra chapter number 4. Look at Ezra chapter number 4. Look at verse number 24. Look what happened when they allowed frustration to take over. Look at Ezra chapter 4. Look at the very last verse. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. You understand, frustration took over, and the building of the temple ceased, it stopped. Can we be reminded this morning, child of God, there's nothing more than the devil would want to do than to put boards over the window and shut down Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Yes, we're going to have expectation up here, and reality is going to sit down in here, and we're going to get frustrated, but we cannot let frustration take over. We just keep on plugging along, keep on going forward for God, keep on serving God, even though we get frustrated in life. We need to understand today that frustration is the work of the devil. We must not allow him to accomplish his work in our lives. When we do that, it causes frustration in the lives of others. And Satan continues his evil work to stop our purpose. And that purpose is to help build the house of God. And for the next few minutes, I want to try to help us from the Word of God this morning on how to overcome frustration. You say, Brother Dallas, you mean to tell me that you're going to preach a message today and tell me how I'm never going to experience frustration ever again? Absolutely not. My friend, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but every single one of us are one phone call away from our entire world being turned upside down. And the question this morning is not, will I go through frustrating times in the Christian life? That's not the question. The question is, what will we do when we do have frustrating times in the Christian life? Ezra chapter 5, look at verse number 1. You take a breath, I'm going to take a drink of water just very quickly, amen. Look at Ezra chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Haggai and Zechariah kept on going, look at what verse number 1 says. Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Did you see what it said? It said Haggai and Zechariah prophesied unto them. Can I say, number one, frustration can be eliminated by the preaching of the Word of God, amen? By the preaching of the Word of God. Child of God, can I say this morning, anytime that we feel frustration in our life, we need to realize that we need as much preaching as we possibly can get. That's why we ought to read sermons. That's why we ought to listen to sermons. That's why we should be in church every time there's preaching, because the Bible says that God has chosen preaching to fulfill our needs, and that will help eliminate the frustration in our lives. I'm talking about real Bible preaching that you get from behind this this pulpit, can I say, too many times we want to have counseling behind closed doors. I like what my preacher used to say. He said the greatest counseling service that the child of God could ever get is every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, when the man of God stands up behind the pulpit, opens up that word of God, and preaches, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Preaching can help eliminate frustration in our life. But it's the frustrated that need preaching the most. But it's usually the frustrated that have quit coming to church and they'll resist anything the Lord tries to do during the preaching. They get critical. They get judgmental. They get resentful. And they're trying to justify the difference in what they expected and what they experienced. And child of God, that difference will always be there. The teaching and preaching of the Bible will help us. It'll draw us close to God. It'll thrill our heart. And it will help us overcome frustration. That's why we need revivals. That's why we need special meetings. That's why we need to go to other local churches to hear men of God preach. Why? Because we need all the preaching that we could possibly get. And some think nothing of missing a church service. And then they wonder why they experience frustration. That frustration affects their life, their home, their peace, and their relationship with God. Can I say today, child of God, we are always making a mistake when we miss or refuse to receive the preaching of the Word of God. How many of us are saved by the good grace of God? Raise your hand good and high this morning. You ever thought about this, child of God? You're saved. When we were saved by the good grace of God, God, the Holy Ghost, came to indwell within us as a believer. You ever thought about this? You go through frustrating times. You may never tell your spouse. You may never tell your best friend. You may never even tell the preacher. But you understand as you're going through these frustrating times, the same Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you is the same Holy Ghost of God that lives in that man right there. And as he's on his knees in prayer, begging and asking God for the right message to preach to his people, and as he's studying this book, the same Holy Ghost of God that knows the frustration you're going through is the same Holy Ghost of God that will lay the exact message on his heart to preach to his people to help you get out of this frustration. But it cannot help you if you're not here to receive the message that the man of God preaches. First of all, preaching will help eliminate frustration. Second of all, look at Ezra chapter number 5. Look at verse number 2. Ezra chapter number 5, verse number 2. The Bible says, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. Can I say, first of all, this morning, preaching can help eliminate frustration. But second of all, participation at the house of God can help eliminate frustration. You understand, God's purpose for his children is to help build the house of God. How do you and I help build the house of God? You may not be a construction worker, but we help build the house of God by showing up for soul winning and working on bus routes and singing in the choir and being an encouragement to others. And my friend, dropping out of any service to God, that's never the answer. We never need a break from participating in the building of the house of God. Can I say, I want to fulfill God's purpose for my life, amen, and God's purpose for all of our lives is to help build the house of God. Sure, the devil will fight, and we may even become weary, but we must not stop participating. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Child of God, I can't tell you how to prevent frustration. I'm just telling you how to stay faithful once it comes. Hey, don't quit. Hey, put your pegs down and say, I'm going to keep on going on for God, even though I'm frustrated. Amen. I've seen so many bow out of their participations when they get frustrated. And they end up falling out of church altogether. They had good sounding reasons. And they may have convinced me. But can I say they didn't get rid of their frustrations. their frustrations just got worse. Look at Psalm 138 with me this morning. Now, I just want to make sure I'm not a lonely island by myself. Has anybody else ever been frustrated in the Christian life? Raise your hand good and high, amen. Look at Psalm 138. I won't read the entire chapter, but let's look at verse number 7. Look what David said. David said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Now, I'm not going to go in detail, but listen to me tonight. The enemy was encamped around David. And in church, if I'm standing right here in the auditorium, where am I standing at in the auditorium? I'm in the midst. Or in Mississippi terminology, where I'm originally from, I'm right smack dab in the middle of the auditorium. Notice what David said. David didn't say, I've just got trouble in front of me. David didn't say, I've just got trouble behind me, or to the right, to the left, above, below. David said, I've got trouble all the way around me. He said, I've got trouble in front, back, to the side, up and up above, and down below. He said, but you know what? I'm going to keep on doing. Can I tell you today, child of God, I'm sure on the sound of my voice in this size of a congregation, there's some that are here at the house of God. You've got trouble in your life. Some, maybe you have trouble with your health. Maybe there's a mom or dad you've got troubled with a wayward son or daughter. Maybe you got trouble in your finances. But look what David said. David said, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Notice what David said. David didn't say this. David didn't say, though I sit down in the midst of trouble. David didn't say, though I lie down in the midst of trouble. David said, I tell you what, I've got trouble in front, behind, to the right, to the left, above, below. He said, but I tell you what I'm going to keep on doing. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to lie down, but I'm just going to keep on putting one foot in front of the other and just keep on going for God. And can I encourage somebody here this morning? You're frustrated and devil's telling you just to slow down a little bit. Can I tell you, keep on walking to that Sunday school class. Keep on walking to that bus route. Keep on walking to the choir loft. Keep on walking for God, even though you get frustrated with the Christian life. Look what David said. Look what it says. Look at verse number 7. David said, if I'll just keep on walking, putting one foot in front of the other, in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. I don't know much about that Bible. But I'm going to tell you something I do know. God always, always, always blesses faithfulness and obedience to His Word. God said, I saved you, and I saved you for a purpose. And that purpose is to build the house of God. And yes, the enemy's going to come in and try to frustrate, but don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't recant. Just keep on plugging away, and I will revive you. First of all, preaching will help eliminate frustration. Second of all, participation will help eliminate frustration. Turn your Bibles back to the book of Ezra. Ezra in chapter number 3. Look at Ezra chapter number 3. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and when the builders lay the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set their priests in the apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Can I say, first of all, preaching can help eliminate frustration. Second of all, participation around the house of God can help eliminate frustration. And third of all, just finding out what it is to praise God, that will help eliminate frustration. And child of God, can we be reminded, my friend, the same God that has been God to us on the mountaintop is the same God down the valley, and He's still worthy to be praised, even though we're going through frustrations of life. This crowd here didn't just sing in the choir or sing a special in church every other month. They praised the Lord. They shouted a great shout. They looked at the building of the house of God, and they were filled with joy. Things may not have gone like they wanted them to go all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. They may not have liked what everybody else was doing all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. Things may not have been what they expected all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. I don't know if you know this today or not, child of God, but a loud amen will go a long way in eliminating your frustration in the house of God. A smile and a hearty handshake will go a long way in eliminating your frustration. Open up that songbook and sing with all your heart will go a long way in eliminating your frustration. I don't know if you know this or not, but raising your hand or weeping with joy or getting happy in church, my friend, it's not going to kill you, amen. It just may help eliminate the frustration you have in your life. Praising God, He's worthy to be praised, amen. He's worthy. Preaching can help eliminate frustration. Participation, praising. Look at it lastly. Look at Ezra chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, and the elders of the Jews builded. And they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. It says, and the elders of the Jews built it and they prospered. Can I say preaching can help eliminate frustration? Participation can help eliminate frustration. Praising God can help eliminate frustration. And prospering can help eliminate frustration. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about make your bank account fatter. I'm not talking about having the most square feet in town in your home. I'm talking about every soul that we win to the Lord. That'll help eliminate frustration. How many times have I had frustration in my life and expectation was up here and reality set in down here and I was frustrated. But I still showed up for Saturday morning soul winning. Still went to Thursday night visitation. Yes, I was frustrated when the night began or when the day began, but I guarantee you the frustration wasn't nearly what it was to begin with after I went and told somebody about Jesus. Every victory that God wins in our life, that will help eliminate frustration. You say, Brother Dash, you don't understand. I've got so much frustration in my life. I just don't see much victory in my life. Can we be reminded for some of us to be at the house of God on a Sunday morning instead of where we used to be on a Sunday morning? That is victory in Jesus. Amen. Every person that we encourage in the Lord will help eliminate frustration. You understand somebody's got it worse than you do this morning? Every reward from God will help eliminate frustration. Every day in the faithful service of the Lord will help eliminate frustration. You know what the biggest struggle for me after I got saved? The biggest struggle that I had in my life, Brother Ross, was not to quit hanging out with that crowd that did not bring honor and glory to God. I'd burned all those bridges anyhow, amen. That wasn't the biggest struggle for me. The biggest struggle after I got saved was not to quit hanging out with the places that I used to hang out. That was not the struggle for me. The biggest struggle that I had in my life after God saved me is I wanted 100% trust back with my mom and dad, and I wanted it overnight. Can I say it didn't happen overnight? Matter of fact, it didn't happen after a month, 3 months, probably not even after a year. But I will tell you this, 21 years now, just putting one foot in front of the other, day in, day out, keeping my eyes on the Lord, that trust is back today. And child of God, you understand the Bible says over in the book of Psalm, our expectation is in the Lord. If we'll keep our expectation in Him, that'll keep the frustration down. But maybe, just maybe, this morning, on this Sunday morning, there's somebody on the sound of my voice. You're lost and you're undone and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Can I say you'll never be able to get rid of your frustration because you haven't even met the great victor himself that can give you victory over your frustration. And maybe there's somebody on the sound of my voice, you don't see yourself as lost and you've already marked off tonight to even be here because you say, well, I don't have a drug addiction problem. Why am I going to go listen to some ex-drug addict? Well, I think about my beautiful wife back at home in Lexington. My wife, her story is completely different than mine. My wife has never smoked a cigarette. My wife has never drank liquor. Somebody say amen right there. My wife's never been in rehab and got up in an AA meeting and said, my name is Nikita, I'm a drug addict and alcoholic. The only time my wife has ever been to jail is when she went with some other ladies from the church to jail to tell those ladies about Jesus. My wife grew up in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My wife went to youth camps, youth conferences. She was on a mission trip in Haiti when she got the word that her dad had died and went off into eternity. My wife, she was faithful to church. She sang in the youth choir and did all those things. But as a 17-year-old girl in a revival service, there was an evangelist by the name of Jimmy Clark that was preaching on hell that night. And he began to go through the crowd and said, if you were to die today, would you die and go to heaven or would you die and go to hell? If you were to die today, would you die and go to heaven or would you die and go to hell? And he began to point people out. And she said, for the first time as a 17-year-old girl, she realized that no matter how good she was on the outside, she still had sin on the inside. And that night, my wife knew the gospel frontwards and backwards, but that night, as a lost sinner, as a 17-year-old girl, my wife bowed her head and bowed her heart, and she called on the God of heaven to save her soul. Can I tell you, there's one thing that I have in common. As far as I know, I know that we've met some of the teenagers at other meetings, but as far as I know, for the majority of this crowd here, I've never met you before. But there's one thing I know that I have in common with every single person here. And that is that all of us, every single one of us, every man, woman, boy, and girl, we will all stand before a holy God of heaven one of these days. And we'll have to give an account to what we did with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, when you stand before God that day, it's not going to matter did the good outweigh the bad. The only thing that's going to matter was the blood ever applied to your heart. Has there ever been a time where you saw yourself as a sinner destined to hell? And you realize at that moment the only way for you to escape hell was not through the baptismal pool, was not through your church membership, was not even through your longevity of sobriety. But the only way to escape hell was by trusting in the finished work on the cross of Calvary, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you to let today be the first day of the greatest day of your life. Amen.